Call to order the Senate Committee on the Environment and Natural Resources. It is the 11th of February. It is 6:05 p.m. Starting a little late because of a long floor session. We have three items today. We are going to have a public hearing and possible work session on Senate Bill 1563. We are going to have a work session on Senate Bill 1517. And we're going to have a public hearing and possible work session on SJM 201. So I'd like to get started with the work session on Senate Bill 1517. So we'll open up that work session. And I believe we have some amendments. I'd like to call forward Marianne Nash from the Farm Bureau and Lori Onan from the Governor's Office, both to tell us where we are with this amendment and where we might be with future amendments and discussions that are dynamic and ongoing.
Mr. Chair, before we get started, I'd like to let you everybody know that I've got 10 yields lined up for this.
Sir, I have my water bottle.
We're a little giddy after that today.
Don't blame me, guys. Chair Edwards, members of the committee, Marianne Nash here on behalf of Oregon Farm Bureau. After a lot of discussion with the governor's office and others, we have a proposal in front of you today that I think is pretty close to a good pilot project for Tillamook County. We decided ultimately in talking to other stakeholders and folks that with Tillamook County being the big center of the most pressing issues, even though there are definitely statewide issues, that a pilot project for Tillamook County was appropriate. Focusing on the kind of local input element. And so the design of what we have done here is to create a pilot project for Tillamook County that has two elements. The first element allows the county to enact ordinances that are really getting at that impacts to neighbors component. So the county can enact ordinances where it looks at whether or not a wetland will significantly increase the cost of neighbor or of surrounding lands of their agricultural operations or force a significant change in those operations. And that is designed, again, to get at the complaints you heard from folks of, you know, wetlands causing flooding on my property, it's causing these adverse impacts that I have no ability to address. And so that is the first element, and then the second element, and through that process, which is a little unique in the system, we're also allowing the applicant, who would be the wetland designer, to agree that they want to enter into a kind of a collaborative process facilitated by the county, that if they could reach agreement with anybody that had concerns, they would be able to get their permit and move through the process. The second component would allow the county to engage in a broader planning effort with a broader group of stakeholders, and this is looking at that countywide look of, you know we need a certain agricultural base to maintain, in particular, their dairy industry, but we also think that wetland restoration work is important and has a place, and so they would be convening a group to really look at that balance. And one of the pieces that was missing from this that we would probably try to add back in at some point is a component that would then allow the county to enact ordinances kind of adopting appropriate regulations for each of the values. Just for enough folks sitting in the audience, we did keep all of the current exemptions that we had in the previous bill. And we tried to put good sideboards on all of the processes so that they hopefully will just allow this county to have greater local input, greater local control over these projects in the county, and really empower the county and the people in the county to work collaboratively. We call it collaborative conservation, and the county's definitely already been a pilot for that, and we hope this pilot project will help them further those goals.
Thank you. Go ahead, Lori.
Thank you, Chair Edwards, members of the committee. For the record, Lori Onan with the Governor's Office. And I just have three points. First of all, really compliment Marianne and the Farm Bureau for their constructive work on this bill. Had a lot of discussions. We have provided feedback on their amendments, and I think that it's a great improvement. The thing that we are interested in looking at in the House side is how can we what can we do in the language to make sure that the planning process really does happen? Because if you have a pilot, and I know the issues have come up about the larger landscape and the agricultural viability, which is very important, as well as the wetlands needs, So getting that information to inform the long-term future seems very important. And if you go through the pilot and you don't have that, and I know they're concerned about resources to do the planning, and I think that's a conversation, like how do we make sure we can have the resources, not necessarily through the legislative process, but there's a lot of people that could come to the table to help. So we're interested in having that dialogue. And then the third thing I would just mention is I'm not a land use attorney. I never hoped to be one, and I just want to make sure that DOJ looks at it from that lens because it's kind of technical. So we're just going to have them look at it. Thank you.
And actually, one addition to give Marianne, because I see it on the top of Lori's notes and I forgot to mention it, it would be a 10-year pilot project, and we would be having the county do reports back to talk about lessons learned, successes, how many permits have happened. So we'd be getting some ongoing feedback from the county on the success of the pilot project.
Thank you both. Questions of committee member Senator Whitsitt?
Thank you for either of you. On page 2 of the dashboard, we're looking at the dashboards, right?
Yes.
Okay. On page 2 of the dashboard, line 26B, any person who may be adversely affected or aggrieved by the use, does that mean someone who is economically damaged, or does that mean somebody in New Jersey that doesn't like it?
Chair Edwards, Senator Whitsitt, that is a really good question, and we struggled a little bit with that language. You're talking there about the collaborative process that the applicant may desire to enter into, and what I was picturing there, and it's also the reason that we wanted to have that start at the close of the comment period, is you get information from... I know in other parts of Oregon there have been issues with people participating in projects that aren't... that, you know, I don't know how far out of state, but they don't have a direct interest, and I would hope that the county would kind of whittle that down. What my intent was there is that if you have, you know, some neighbors that have come forward, or even somebody, the reason we don't want to limit to neighbors is you could have somebody two properties away that says this is going to back drainage up onto my property and we need to address it. But you would get all of those people, you know who they are because the comment period's closed, you've heard from them, and you could bring them together and say, okay, how do we design this project to alleviate your concerns and try to get at it through the collaborative process, but then also giving the applicant the safeguard of having being able to bump back into the normal permitting process if they say, okay, you know, I just want to go through the normal permitting process and talk to the county about why I'm being reasonable.
Yeah.
That's an admirable intent, but I'm not sure you answered my question. Does it have to be someone local, someone who has, who may be able to express an economic interest, or can it be anybody?
Chair Edwards, Senator Whitsitt, I think to answer the question, frankly, I think in the land use system, because we are getting at this through the land use laws, it would be somebody who, now I'm thinking about it, I defined a term. I think you'd have to have, to be in the collaborative process the way we've described it, you would have to have, prove you were adversely affected or aggrieved, which wouldn't be somebody in New Jersey. But to be clear, in the broader land use process, I do know that comments can be accepted more broadly. But yeah, I would say, and I hadn't been thinking of people with outside interests prior to now, but I think you're right that the way we've said it, adversely affected or aggrieved, I would hope that would mean somebody with a concrete interest. I was always picturing neighboring landowners.
Well, a couple of comments. I think that would be appropriate maybe to tighten that up. I'm very concerned that this bill has been narrowed down to a pilot project in one corner of the state. I'm certain that area needs it. The rest of the state needs it as well. And it's distressing to know that the rest of the state will not be able to protect themselves from being flooded out by a rampant neighbor.
Senator Olson.
Marianne, in the same section that the good senator was talking about, it talks about those people that can get involved and talking about the collaborative process. So where in the bill does it state if we can't come to a consensus what the process is and what happens?
Chair Edwards, Senator Olson, I think you've maybe identified another piece that we could make more clear. The applicant gets to put themselves into the collaborative process, and so if the collaborative process, and I think that it's that, you know, the applicant's choice if that's one meeting or five meetings or 10 meetings to figure out if they can reach an agreement. If they couldn't reach an agreement, the applicant would just bump themselves back into the normal county permitting process. But I think we could make it more clear, and I think that's another, since we're looking at amendments for the House side, one that we'd certainly want to look at to say, you know, there's no obligation to do this, and if you, at any point, the applicant gets to bump themselves back into the normal permitting process. I think we could definitely make that more clear.
I also echo the statements that my colleague had mentioned about the fact of this process and that it ends up for Tillamook County. It's a sad state of affairs when we can have a large group of people all together at one time and talk about it and try to put it all together, and those people that don't want to participate or did not participate suddenly come in with a decision that, you know, they don't like it. I think you did a wonderful job. I'm glad the chair and I were able to go out and see the ramifications of this. I was excited about what it could do for the state and how we could make it work. And to have to settle, and I'm using words settle very importantly, the fact that you have to settle for a 10-year pilot project, whereas the rest of the state can't benefit from this legislation that would have happened, I think is distressing. And I appreciate all the work that you did on it, and the good chair allowed us to move ahead and threw it over into my corner to kind of be, as I said in another bill, it's a Rolls-Royce bill, it's a great thing, and I'm just a hood ornament. And that's exactly what it was. I was just out there in front catching the wind. I would have liked to seen this go farther, and I think with the help of the governor's office, I think in the longer session, we might be able to bring something back together again and really make this work for the state, because to narrow it down to those people that need it, but there's other people that have those needs, I think is a little bit outlandish. So thank you.
And Chair Edwards and Earlson, just a very brief response to that. We have every intention of the outstanding issues that we had to let go of in this bill of making sure that they are addressed. We do think with increasing investments in the state in conservation work and important conservation work, that it's also important that we have adequate protections for neighbors who may be impacted by those projects. And so we have every intention of continuing to seek solutions on those other issues and to continue to have a dialogue around them. So thank you.
Thank you. Oh, any other questions for or comments? Okay. Thank you both. So we've got dash fours in front of us, and that's what we're considering this evening. So I'd love to have a motion.
Chair Edwards. never mind. Chair Edwards, I move to adopt the dash four amendment dated 2/10/2016.
Senator Olson moves to adopt the dash four amendments dated 2/10/2016. Is there any discussion on adoption of the dash fours? Okay. Seeing no discussion, are there any objections to adoption of the dash fours? Okay. Seeing none, the motion carries.
Chair Edwards, I move Senate Bill 1517 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Senator Olson moves Senate Bill 1517. As amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Discussion. Senator Nimrod.
Thanks, Senator Edwards. colleagues, for today I'm going to be a no on this bill. I really appreciate the work that Marianne has done. This is a real movement in the right direction, I think. I share the concern about it just being a pilot project, because I think there's still lots of talk and discussion that needs to happen. And I hope that, I'm not going to call for a task force on this, but I think it would be useful for some sort of work group process that would be ongoing to keep addressing this, because this really is a statewide issue, I think, and something that would create a mechanism for the parties to get together, I think is really long overdue, to be honest. I mean, I first heard about this problem a couple of years ago, and, you know, I think that's what is going to be required. So I hope that that will happen. And I hope that the further amendments that happen will get me to a point where I can actually vote for this bill. But I certainly look forward to that future work.
Great. Other discussion, other comments?
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment. Yeah. And in regard to what the good senator just said, there was a work group. We did meet. We met on the site. We went over. We discussed. Everybody hashed it out. Turns out that I guess the work group was remiss in bringing in everybody. So I think the next time you do this, you get a postcard and you send it to all Oregonians and have 4 million say, do they want to be there or don't they? I think they did wonderful work. I just, as I said earlier, I'm distraught because it ended up not being so good, but I will move this. I will vote for this bill, move it forward.
Thank you, Senator, and thank you for the work that you've put into the bill. I think I concur with a lot of the comments. I think it's a complicated issue, particularly on a statewide basis, but I've had a lot of input from people in my district, and I remain unpersuaded that the liability piece shouldn't be addressed on a statewide base. And I remain unpersuaded that there aren't some real issues in areas outside of Tillamook. I do think that Tillamook County has, particularly because of the land conversion issues and losing the land base that they need to support the dairy industry there, that is one of the compounding factors in Tillamook County, and I'm not saying it's not the only place that has that issue, though. So I hope that we can come up in the interim with some statewide, a statewide bill. So, Senator Whitson, any other comments before we vote? Okay.
Mr. Chair, before we close, since you said that, I assume next year we'll be on environment together, and I'd like to work on it with you.
That'd be great. I'd like that. So all those with objections, any objections? Okay, note for the record the objection of Senator Denbrough. The motion carries. Senator Johnson will carry the bill. We'll close the work session now on Senate Bill 1517, and we'll open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 1563. Senator Roblin and company, I think I haven't polled members of this committee as to where they are, but I know you guys have been having lots of conversations with members of the committee. So we'll just let you go ahead, and then we'll talk about it, and if people are ready to vote for it, then great. If not,
there we go.
Session.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Senator Arnie Robinson, District 5, Senate District 5, which goes from Coos Bay to Tillamook Bay, so I appreciate the last action taken by this committee and would love to help in any way I can with that issue because there were some things that got dropped that I think were very important. But that being said, we are here to talk about septic systems. Last year there was a bill that was put forward by DEQ through the governor's request, and I was intimately involved. We have a lot of problems with septic tanks in and around Lakeside and a few other places on coastal lakes, and when I started doing it, I found a whole bunch of people from Central Oregon that came by and said, well, you know, we need to be a part of that too, and we had a lot of good conversations, and it came to this committee, and it was discussed, and I will tell you that when the bill didn't go through, I didn't take that as a negative. I really took it as a positive that I was going to do the bill this next time, and that in that stead, I was going to take the issues that came up during the conversations in this session very seriously. And so once I got the bill drafted, I found some other friends, and you'll hear from Craft 3 today, that had done some work up in Washington that was willing to help some work, and so we continued to work on that. Senator Olson, I will again commend you for actively getting engaged with me, and each time I would do an amendment, he would tell me, a little concerned about this. I want to make sure that it's a wide open process, that we get the right kinds of organizations that can do it. I think each one of those helped. In the final analysis, we also found that Washington was already in the process of renewing their program, working with it, and they already had an RFP out. So that gave us a really good idea to look at what kinds of things that we ask, and the less cost that I can have borne by our agency and more money that can actually go into the program intrigued me. And so we talked with the agency, and they're here if you have any questions directly, and I think they may have submitted some testimony. But the issue was, can we make a program that answers all the questions from last time? Well, there were a lot of questions about would the people getting the loan be forced to make the best system or just a system that works? I think that was a good question. This bill is pretty clear about they get to make their own decisions about how they want to do it. Another issue that came up from here was we want to make sure that if there is a sewer line going nearby and they can attach to, that's a better solution. So that needs to be a part of the solution. So each one of those things, I think, added to making this bill a better bill. And in final analysis, we as a state have not always done well at being our own loan programs. So getting other groups outside who do this on a regular basis to manage the program made a lot of sense to me. And they have the interest of their own interest plus the interest of the local owner to get something that can work and be paid back. So with all of those things, and then last year we really were trying to get the policy in. This time I decided I really wanted to put in a request for about $250,000 so we can actually see if it works on the ground with some of our money. My hope is, and in conversations with people who have done this in other states, there are outside groups that would like to give money to this program. I would love to get whatever money I can to whoever gets selected by our process from not only the state but other outside people who understand how important it is to fix septic tanks. One of the other conversations that I will continue to have is that when we do fixes in septic systems, we need to have, and this again comes from conversation with Senator Olson, we need to have an understanding that those people realize that that septic tank has to be on an annual or a couple years or whatever, manufacturer specifications checked and worked on and pumped out and all of the things that a lot of people just let it go until it doesn't work anymore. And you can extend the life of these systems for years and years and years if you maintain it correctly. And I think that needs to be a part of the conversation. And I know from the people I've talked to that part of the conversation about the loan stuff is, I think, to have some of those conversations as we go on, and we'll figure out from there. But I thank everybody in this committee for helping me figure out what the kinds of things that would make this bill better. I believe the Dash 3s do that, and I am here for any questions you might have.
Okay. Mr. Audley.
Good evening, Chair Edwards, members of the committee. My name is John Audley. I'm here on behalf of Craft 3, a nonprofit community development financial institution with a mission to strengthen economic, ecological, and family resilience in the Pacific Northwest. I'm here in support of 1563-3. You have Adam Zimmerman, the Executive Vice President's comments. So I'm just going to make three quick points answer any questions I may be able to. In my opinion, this is good policy. It creates a statewide program that responds to a pressing need across the state. It creates opportunities for public-private partnerships where agencies do what they do well in partnership with other entities that are good at other things. It creates an opportunity for public funds to be paired with private funds so that we get multiplier effects on what the state is able to support. For example, in Washington, there is now $13 million invested in septic systems replacements in and around the Puget Sound area. Only 31% of that money came from public sources. The rest came from private philanthropy. That's the kind of program that makes sense to us. And finally, and very importantly for Oregonians, this creates an affordable, practical approach that helps folks who have a problem with their septic systems replace it, repair it, connect with a local sewage system. Oftentimes, folks who don't have access to the $13,000 or so that it takes to replace them. So for all those reasons, Craft 3 supports the bill, as do many of our friends who've worked on this bill with the senator from the beginning. So thank you so much.
Thank you both. Maybe we could wait. Hold on for some questions. Sir, what's it?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Thank you for bringing this bill forward. This bill, it had it been in place, would have replaced all of the failing septic systems in South Deschutes and North Klamath County for a fraction of what DEQ has spent studying the problem. But I have two questions here. First is on page 3, line 24, the dash 3s, the loan amount must cover 100% of the costs. Is there any prohibition about prepaying the cost down? I mean,
No, but I think when they write their contracts, that will be a part of it. I think you could answer that better. Prepayment, if I have a 100% cost on the position and I all of a sudden come into some money and I want to pay that off, is you, in the situation where we've had in the past, is that something to put in contract that we could actually pay it off in full?
Chair Edwards, Senator Whitsitt, to my knowledge, and I can only share the experiences of our neighbor. From a lending institution's point of view, if the customer pays it off soon, that's fine.
But we need to make it, and I think in part, it's kind of a revolving fund because we've got this money invested. The sooner we get it back, the sooner we can get out and fix something else.
From the standpoint of the fund, that's great. From the standpoint of the lender, that might not be great.
Exactly. Right.
Because of the interest, so I wanted to know.
Yeah, exactly. Thank
not,
you.
So they're not locked into a 10-year program,
right,
or whatever. They can pay it off when they can. Okay. Second question has to do with on page 4, lines 18, 19, 20, and there, $250,000. $200,000 goes to the grant program, and no more than $50,000 goes to administration for a DEQ. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
And I hope they can do it for less. With the stuff that we've put in there, I think it might be easier for them, and I will watch that very closely.
Charleston.
I'd like to thank Senator Roblin because I've kind of been a thorn in his side. last session when he brought this forward, I kind of was complaining about at least in my defense, stating that there could be some problems mm-hmm. with the way it was going, and I really appreciate the fact that he listened to my concerns and changed everything, and I kept coming back to him, and I did say, well, I don't. What about this? What about that? And I really want to thank you for listening and working collaboratively and saying, okay, what do you think about this? And I really thought that was really kind of cool. Thank you.
And thank you. I actually really believe that this is Oregonians' problems, and the best way to fix it is have those conversations, because it really was clear to me that this wasn't a political issue. This was a really issue that everybody understands. Failing septic tanks, I don't know anybody that doesn't understand that. And figuring out a way to help people. I mean, we have a lot of people in my district who the system is going to cost more than the house that they live in. And so, you know, it's unbelievable for them to think about having a loan if they can't figure out how they're ever going to pay it back. So I just wanted to come up with that kind of solution, and I appreciate your help because I think it has made it better.
Well, yeah. And I want to comment on what you talked about cleaning the tanks, and I'll relate to my own personal experience. I bought an old house on an acre and a quarter, and their system failed. And what they did is they just ran a pipe off the back of the hill and let it drop out there, which is really nasty, right? So I come in and I burned the house down, but I kept the tank. I used the septic tank, and I put in a new field, and I've lived there since 1987, and that tank is just wonderful. I just had it pumped, and as long as you take provide care. Maintenance every 3 or 4 years to clean it out. Now, we only have two, and we clean it out every 3 years.
That's impressive.
But they work really well, and they'll work for a long, 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 long time if you take care of them. And those people that don't and don't understand it, this is a good opportunity for them to get in and figure out how to do it and make it work.
We made some good changes in some of our laws in the last few years with regard to letting notification that the person has a septic system,
mm-hmm.
Because we've had a lot of people who have come buying houses from in the city, and they want to live out in the country. They thought that was great, and they get there, and they didn't have a clue what they had.
Yeah.
The water stops. Why would the water stop?
Yeah.
Well, you have a well. Oh, I do. Okay. So, you know, the same thing is true about septic tanks. The reason that the first time they realize they have it is when it doesn't work. And so then it takes them forever to figure it out. And so the person comes out and says, where's the septic? And says, what's a septic tank?
Especially if you have an old two-story farmhouse.
Anyway, so, yeah. So thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
I'll just make a comment, yeah. Mr. Chair. I really appreciate the values in Section 1. I like the way this bill is written with the values up there in Section 1 and then, you know, what how this program would work because those are really important values. And I really, appreciate the work that the company's doing to, you know, to do, this kind of creative financing and partnership to help people do the right thing.
And I'll just state one comment on that one. I think Craft 3 used to be Shore Bank, and they did a lot of stuff with our fishermen over the years. they have been a good long-term organization in our state, helping people in tight. And I keep trying to figure out how, and I've had a lot of friends do this, how do you now take a fishing boat and sell it to a young new family fisherman? That business is unbelievable right now, what that costs, and buying that license. Mm. And how do you build the next generation of fishermen makes me really nervous. So I keep trying to figure out what are the ways that we can get the right kinds of investments and the right kind of people that can help those young people make those decisions. It used to be you start out with a little boat and you worked it up. It's harder to do that these days with permits and everything else costing so much. So,
Mr. Chair, I'd like to thank Senator Denbro because I was the scrivener on this bill.
No. That's right. Exactly. Thank you both.
Thank you.
We've got a couple of other folks that have signed up to testify on this. Michael Van Dyke, and I don't see Eric Kanzler or Peggy Lynch or Mark Nystrom, but if any of them are okay, and I think that they have, and there are a number of folks that have submitted testimony in favor of the bill, and those are all posted on OLS. I don't know if anybody has submitted testimony against it. Go ahead.
Chair Edwards, members of the committee, my name is Michael Van Dyke for the record. I'm here representing the Oregon Association of Realtors. I will be very brief and just want to put on the record that we appreciate all the work that DEQ has done with the association in the past, educating our members via statewide webinar, going to our local associations and educating them on on-site septics and the importance of maintenance that goes along with those that everyone talked about a little bit earlier. We believe this is an excellent opportunity to address failing septics while homeowners are still in their homes. And we are supportive of the bill moving forward.
Any questions of Michael? Oh, okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's everybody that signed up to testify. Are committee members comfortable moving to work session on this? Okay. We're going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1563, open up a work session on Senate Bill 1563.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the -3 amendment dated 2/9/2016.
Senator Olson has moved to adopt the -3 amendments dated 2/9/2016.
Are there any discussion?
Is there any? I was waiting for you. I was waiting for the next motion. I was like, man, he's asleep. It's me. Is there any discussion? Not that I'm presupposing an outcome here. Are there any objections to the motion? Seeing none, the motion carries. Now you.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 1563 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Senator Olson moves Senate Bill 1563 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, are there any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. The bill's on its way to Ways and Means. They will, do they sign a carrier there? Or do
they sign it.
They'll sign it there. But I'll bet that Senator Roblin can talk him into carrying the bill. So we are going to close the work session on Senate Bill 1563.
Chris, before you open up SJM 201, you might have problems with that bill.
Okay. I might or I will.
You probably will.
Okay.
And if you want to open it up, Senator Witsit will explain.
Okay. Okay. Is Senator Roblin there?
Yes. Please.
Okay.
No,
Do you want to do 201? Okay.
Well,
okay. We are going to open up a public hearing on SJM 201.
I forgot my, for the record, Arnie Roblin, Senate District 5, Senator. I forgot my little display of my quagga muscles that I have on my desk upstairs. But a year ago, we, along with all of the other Northwest states, sent to Congress a resolution like this one, encouraging them to put some money into helping us protect our borders and keep the quagga and zebra mussels out of the Pacific Northwest. I'm one of the vice presidents of PENWAR, Pacific Northwest Economic Region, and we had the conversation. We got an allocation, actually a fair amount of money, over $4 million from the federal government, to the Corps of Engineers to work on this problem on the Columbia Basin. So it's really about the Columbia Basin, Snake, all of those rivers. We are working hard with them to get that allocation actually distributed to the state, and our goal is to talk to the Corps about what does it mean to protect the basin. From our perspective, that means get away from the basin and don't let it get in anything close to it. So our states of Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana have all invested a fair amount of money in their resources to keep the muscle out of their particular areas. We're a little worried about Montana because the Missouri now has it off of the Mississippi, and it moves upriver very, very slowly, but it does move upriver. And so we're watching really closely to do this issue. We used to have believed that our borders were protected by the other states, so California, Utah, all of those. It's now in some of those states, California in particular. We're working with our Canadian partners. It's in Lake Manitoba. It's in other places that they never thought it would be, and they have found that even the cold winters have not killed it. So they wish they'd listened to us before. Minnesota, I talked to some of those people. They are saying we're allowed to 10,000 lakes, but we're losing them one at a time with respect to this invasion that's coming in from the Great Lakes. And they are finding it, as everybody else has, almost impossible to stop it once it's there. We expect millions and millions, up to $100 million a year in expenses for this region once it gets here, if it gets here, because we have water that is high in calcium, which is what they need to produce their shells and to make them live. And so we're very concerned for agriculture, for power generation, all of those things with them. We believe if we can get the federal government to actually appropriate the money for a couple of years in a row, it'll become a regular appropriation, and the Corps of Engineers will continue to do it, and we can make sure that we continue to have resources that double the state's investment so that we can get more stations and so on. Montana has a group of people who have trained dogs to sniff quagga and zebra mussels. They have employed them up on the border with Saskatchewan, and they were 100%. They would take one mussel and put it on a boat somewhere, and they'd bring the deal, and they'd turn the dog loose, and they found every one. We had a demonstration last year in Montana of those dogs working, and I was shocked that they could actually smell one quagga mussel on a boat that's been out of the water for a while. So, and they just stand there and point, and the guy goes and looks really hard, and oh, there's the quagga mussel. So our hope is that we will continue to get some of those things, because that was the first time we figured out a way to actually do inspections at night. You know, we're at the mercy of people moving boats, and everybody kept thinking it was Lake Mead and some of the places in the south. Idaho and Montana have a lot of streams of people coming in from the Great Lakes. It's kind of amazing. And we're getting houseboats from California that are being moved up and repositioned in other places. All of those things are really a problem. Wake boats have a tank inside that can't be completely flushed. We're very concerned about them bringing the muscle here. So getting resources to protect our borders and to protect our state is really important. This is a bill that basically says federal government, continue to be a partner in us doing this, because we are the last place in North America that does not have quagga or zebra mussels, the four Western states, and we want to keep it that way for as long as we possibly can.
But for what? Washington, Oregon,
Idaho, and Montana.
And Montana, okay.
Yeah, we are the one. Alaska doesn't have any, but they don't think that that will be a problem in Alaska, because there is a limit to how far north they can go. Right now, Manitoba is starting to be the answer to find out what that actual length is, but they had found it in one little spot in the lake, and they thought that they had taken it. You can put potash in the lake, and it will kill them. Little did they know that since each one of these little guys produce 1 million eggs a year, some got out. And so they had total, complete eradication in the one marina where they had found it. They felt really good about it, and then it popped up all over the lake and other places. So they are now in the same process as the rest of us. And the other problem that it does is they clean the water so well that your fish become smaller and smaller and smaller because there's no food left in the system for them. And you'll see Great Lake fish that are much smaller. Our salmon population, they don't eat a lot except when they're young, so it'll be difficult for all of our native fish to survive if they get really inundated and they grow on top of each other. So any questions, I'd be glad to answer.
Okay. Senator Woodson.
I think, Senator Wilson, or Roblin, it's late in the day.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, you look like
old. Yeah. Right. Oh, same floor.
Yeah.
I'm really supportive of the first part of this. The what I have a problem with is to implement the Water Resources Reform and Development Act. This just
I understand that part
summary
too.
Of this is seven titles and 150 sections and 27 pages. So I'm not sure what we're doing here. I mean, I haven't had time. That bill itself is like
all we're asking for is the allocation that they have done to continue that allocation. That's the bill it comes from. And I agree with you. Reading congressional bill work is really difficult.
And there's a whole lot of stuff in that bill.
A whole lot of stuff in that.
Besides the invasive species.
Correct.
I mean, there's there's regulation of munition sites near near a river, which is Hanford.
Yep.
And you're looking at regulation of the Corps of Engineers project adversely impacted other federal facilities. That's the Snake River Dams.
Yep. This is the big federal bill, and the issue is that's where they put the money. And what we're asking is that they continue to put that money there. I don't have much control over a bunch of the other stuff the federal government is doing.
What I'm saying, Senator, is that I have no idea what I'm voting for.
Oh, okay.
Other than that, and the other.
I see what you're saying.
The other 149 sections.
That's true, and I have not read them as well.
So, Senator Whitsitt, I'm jumping ahead in the line of thought here, so you would be more comfortable, tell me if I'm wrong, if on line 30 of page 1 of the bill there was a period after the word efforts and you struck the part that says and to implement the intent of the Water Resources Reform and Development Act.
Imminently.
I'm fine. I don't know that we have the time to do that. All right, I will work on that when it gets to the other side, but I feel very comfortable with that play.
Well,
yeah, the alternative would be to fix it on the next line, to implement the intent of the Water Resources Reform and Development Act with respect to invasive species. I mean, if there's...
I'd even go closer. With respect to their funding for the invasives, the Quagga Zebra Mussel issue and the Columbia River Basin. But
I mean,
yeah.
I know it's late. It's late in the day. It's late in the session. If you can assure us that you can get that done on the other side,
I will work to get that done on the other side.
Okay, that'd be great.
Because that makes a lot of sense to me as well. I'm not about the whole bill. I'm about getting our resources.
Yeah, I don't want somebody coming to me say,
yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I do understand that.
Did you read it?
It'll be interesting.
Don't you guys read these bills?
It will be interesting. The wording is almost is really pretty much all the states. So once I do this, I'm going to go talk to my Idaho friends that are usually a little bit more careful than that. So I will have a conversation with them too, because they're passing the same resolution in each of those four states.
Senator Roble, I'd just like to say that the Quagga Mussel has done wonders in Lake Erie to clean it up because it was a dirty lake, and the fishery is exceptional there, but you're absolutely correct. We do not need to have these little invasive critters coming our way, which they are, and they're wanting to. And if you can fix that little problem, I think I'll have no problem.
Yeah, I found really good about that. I'll talk to it when we get to the House side.
Okay. Eminently competent community administrator has said that we can put the request in for that amendment tonight.
That would be perfect.
And deliver it to committee staff with the bill, should we, or with
I would like to see that happen.
With the memorial, should we elect to pass it. So,
yep.
But I do not, if you aren't comfortable with it,
right,
we don't need to jam it through. I mean, if you're comfortable with Senator Roblin working on it.
I'm sure that Darnie will
okay.
take care of it.
Okay. All right. Then we are going to close the public hearing on SJM 201. We're going to open up a work session on SJM 201.
So, Lorraine, we don't need to put anything in there that it should be amended. Just do
no, but let's clarify that though during the.
Mr. Chair, I move that SJM 201 be reported out of committee with a recommendation that it be adopted.
Senator Olson moves that SJM 201 be reported out of committee with a recommendation that it be adopted. Is there any discussion? I would just add for the record, now that we're in the work session or in the discussion period, that it is the intention of members of this committee, and Senator Roblin noted that he would work on an amendment to take to the House that clarifies that this body is not voting to say that the entire act, the entire Water Resources Reform and Development Act be implemented, but rather that is narrowed to either the funding or implementation with respect to the funding to deal with the quagga or quagga and zebra mussel issue. So is there any other discussion? Seeing none, are there any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries, and Senator Roblin will carry the bill on the Senate floor. We will close the work session on SJM. And any other items for the
your record just went
away. All right. That's it. We've got a couple of bills that'll come over from the House, but there doesn't look like it's probably going to be a big agenda, but we await House bills, and
so we'll meet on Tuesday, so probably.
Well, I believe we'll be meeting on Tuesday. Yeah, meet on Tuesday. So,
Mr. Chair, I'll give you advance warning that I will be absent Tuesday for some medical reasons.
Okay, that's good to know. Okay, thank you. So we're adjourned.
Thank you.